This is the News at 5 on WRKC Wilkes-Barre.
Good evening. This is the WRKC News at 5. I'm Program Director Nick Rotundo. Thank you for joining us. Tonight's top stories are on a new photography exhibit at King's and a recent rash of thefts at the Monarch Mart. We'll also hear this week's edition of the Business Beat and a special March Madness sports segment, as well as the weather for the rest of the week. Class of 2014 alumnus Katie Sununis has a new photography exhibit in the Widman Gallery of the Campus Center. Station manager Jessica Mulligan sat down with her to talk about her work.
The Widman Gallery is perhaps one of King's College's best-kept secrets. Located on the first floor of the Campus Center, just behind the Campus Activities office, it houses art shows on a rolling basis. A new show opened Monday, February 27th, and will be showcased through March 24th, with a big opening ceremony this coming Friday. This is the work of Katie Sununis, a member of King's College's class of 2014, for whom this is the first time having work featured here on campus. Having studied environmental studies here, she opened up about whether this impacted her choice to be a photographer.
It actually didn't. I was more interested in photography before I even declared a major. So the nature part that I'm interested in kind of inspires the photography, yes, but I was more into it beforehand. I'm not sure yet. I'm actually going to school. I'm leaving this coming October for school in Boston, the New England School of Photography, but I'm not sure what I'm going to major in yet. So it could be something environmentally related or it might not be. I'm not sure yet. I'm actually going to school. I'm leaving this coming October for school in Boston, the New England School of Photography, but I'm not sure what I'm going to major in yet, so it could be something environmentally related, or it might not be.
The inspiration for Sununis' title for her show came easily to her.
Actually, it just kind of came off the top of my head when they were asking me. So what I want people to get out of when they go to the gallery and see my work is I want them to stand in front of a photo and feel like they're standing next to me when I was taking the photograph, seeing what I was seeing when I was there. That's kind of where that came from.
She mentioned how she came about doing the show in the Widman Gallery.
I know a few people in some of the offices, and so does my mom, and we were talking about it, and we thought, you know, since I am an alumni, we might as well do something at the school, and we got in contact with the gallery, Michelle Leonard, and she just set something up for me. It really just kind of came to be. You know, wasn't anything, they didn't seek me out or anything. I kind of sought them out.
Continuing, Sununis talked about the two locations for the photos exhibited.
Yellowstone National Park is one of them, and then Ricketts Glen is the other one. So it's a lot of waterfalls, it's a lot of, you know, nature stuff.
Of all the photos, she does have one particular favorite.
I do have a favorite. It's a picture of a log with blooms on it, but they're fallen off blooms, so they're just like laying. It's actually called windblown, so it's hard to describe because my brain doesn't work the way then like to describe things like that. So I just take the picture and then it's there, and I want people to interpret it in their own way. I don't really know how to interpret it. I just do it.
Looking forward, Sununis shared some places she would like to photograph.
There's a ton of places. I really would like to do the Grand Canyon at some point. There's a lot of national parks I want to go to. I've been to Yellowstone. I would like to see Yosemite. I'd like to see Zion. You know, there's a few, but I have to get my schooling done first. You know, traveling is expensive, and I want to be able to set myself up to be able to travel. That's what I would really like to do, is travel and take photos at the same time and get, you know, work out of it.
Sununis has received much positive feedback on the art shown here.
Mostly positive things. You know, I pick what I think people would want to look at. If I don't think they want to look at it, then I won't show it. It really all depends. I get a lot of positive feedback from my parents, obviously, and my aunt, who is an artist, and she works over at Wilkes, and she's been a really positive influence on me when it comes to, you know, which photos I should pick and what I should look at, and, you know, just focusing on what really matters and what I think people would want to look at.
She says she does not do very much editing on her photos.
I don't do much editing. Sometimes you have to sharpen them up a little bit, or, you know, change the color, change the lighting if the lighting is not off. But I try to make sure that right before I take the photograph, my camera is on the right settings. And that actually makes a big difference. You know, if you know how to work your camera, you won't have to change the photo as much.
To anyone considering becoming a photographer, Sununis has some simple advice.
just do it. Honestly, just do it. I've been struggling with what I've been wanting to do job-wise for the past 4 years, and I got to tell you, this has been a weight lifted off my shoulders, knowing that I finally am doing something that I actually really want to do. And I'm hoping I could incorporate some of my my major from King's into this, because I don't want to feel like I wasted that, because I did learn a lot here. I did, you know, I met some great people. I had great teachers. I learned a lot, and I want to be able to incorporate everything I've learned into one job that I absolutely love. So definitely just go for it. If you're skeptical, it doesn't matter. You'll get the results you want in the end.
The photographs will be up in the Widman Gallery for a month. So come on down to the Campus Center to see alum Katie Sununis' work. The exhibit is free, so don't miss out on some photography by one of our very own monarchs. For WRKC News at 5, I am Station Manager Jessica Mulligan.
Between emails, news signs posted on the door, and even security guards standing outside of the Monarch Mart, the student population has been buzzing with speculation and confusion. News Director Katie Pugh talked to Chartwells to investigate the potential thefts.
Thievery at the Monarch Mart? Vice President for Student Affairs Janet Merson-Cabbage sent an email to all students on Friday, February 24th, about potential thefts at the fully automated Monarch Mart in the basement of the Campus Center. In the email, Vice President Merson-Cabbage reminded students that the market is monitored by security cameras and of the repercussions found in the handbook for potential thefts on campus. She encouraged that those who have stolen from the Monarch Mart voluntarily turn themselves in, and that there is a food pantry in the Cheval Center with free snacks. Retail manager of Chartwell's Dining Service, Eric Shotto, commented on the change of hours at the Monarch Mart that followed this email.
Currently, we are going through some hour changes to the store, opening up at 8 o'clock in the morning, closing at midnight, so we can get a handle a little bit better on the process of how the students are utilizing the store and purchasing product. It's not going to be a permanent change, but it's something we need to do a little more investigation in, and getting a clear process in an operation in order to have a good handle on it. So we don't know in detail of exactly who or what is going maybe going wrong or what is maybe going right. It's just something we're still investigating a little bit more. When we do find out, we will make the appropriate changes to ours.
Shadow was asked who Chartwells was working with on campus to solve this issue.
We're working with King's College, multiple people throughout the college. I don't know have any exact guest locations or departments that are helping. Yeah, security, I mean, is involved and knows of it. I just personally myself don't know the proper information to say 100% who is exactly involved. Everything's being held by, taken care of by our director. So I don't have my hands in there, so I don't know the actual facts of the situation.
That's all we can say at this point.
CC'd on the email that Vice President Merson-Cabbage sent out was the Vice President of Business Affairs, John Loyak, Executive Director of Campus Safety and Security, James Gilgallon, Associate Director of Campus Safety and Security, Mark Naylor, Campus Safety and Security Investigator, Stephen Kapenis and Nicholas Gushka, and Residence Life Director, Megan Selick, which would imply that those departments are involved in the investigation of these thefts. It is unclear why Chartwell's staff avoided mentioning this involvement or that there were thefts at all. For the WRKC News at 5, I'm News Director Katie Pugh.
Coming up next, we'll get a recap of the past week in the world of economics with the Business Beat, get a Bracket-tastic sports update, and get the forecast to close out the week.
Sherman Gillums Jr., Paralyzed Veterans of America.
For more than 70 years, Paralyzed Veterans of America has helped hundreds of thousands of veterans get all the benefits they've earned.
Al Kovac Jr., Paralyzed Veterans of America.
We provide one-on-one support tailored to your individual needs, including healthcare advocacy, benefit support, and career assistance.
For more information, call 1-800-424-8200 or visit pva.org. A public service of Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Hey, I'm Beatle Ed. If you're into the Beatles, have I got a show for you. The Beatle Ed Fab 4 Hour airs every Friday from 7 to 8 p.m. live on WRKC. Warning, this is not your father's Beatles show. You'll hear outtakes, rare recordings, classic and solo tracks, exclusive interviews with people like Pete Best, May Pang, and many more. The Beatle Ed Fab 4 Hour, Fridays at 7 on WRKC 88.5. You never know, your dad might like it too.
News at 5 continues on 88.5 WRKC, Wilkes-Barre.
Hello, this is Joshua Frankevich with your King's Business Beat, the U.S. in review. The U.S. housing market took center stage during a light week of economic indicators. Following the first monthly contraction in 5 months in December, existing home sales rebounded 3.3% in January, reaching the highest level in the post-recession period. The jump in sales activity in January is consistent with the surge in mortgage purchase applications in November, as would-be buyers rushed to lock in rates following the election. On average, it takes about 2 months to close on a home, according to the National Association of Realtors. Existing home sales remained firm in 2016, registering a 3.8% increase relative to the previous year. Despite still elevated consumer and builder sentiment, the pace of December existing sales activity likely will not be sustainable, as the low level of inventories continues to impede overall sales activity, and the increases in mortgage rates make it a bit more difficult for some prospective buyers to enter the market. The ISM Manufacturing Index rose for the fifth consecutive month in January, climbing to 56. Gains were broad-based across index components. The production and new orders components also edged higher over the month. The employment component had perhaps the best upside surprise of the release, perking up to 56.1, the second highest reading since the start of 2013. This was corroborated by a monthly gain of 5,000 manufacturing jobs. Consumer confidence slipped 1.5 points to start 2017 after surging to a cycle high in December. The drop was solely due to a decline in expectations, even though expectations for the present are still positive. Despite this monthly decline, at a reading of 111.8, the index still points to an optimistic U.S. consumer. The Global Review. The global economy continues to slowly improve. The Eurozone market manufacturing PMI cycle continued its improvement in February to a high of 55.5 in a sign that the improvement in global economic activity is alive and well. However, the manufacturing index was not the only index that improved, as the market services PMI also shot up to 55.6 from a previous reading of 53.7, also a cycle high. We saw a similar situation in Germany, with its manufacturing index hitting a high of 57 in February from 56.4 in January, while the market services PMI also rose to 54.4 from a reading of 53.4 the previous month. Mexico released quarter four and full year GDP growth rates from the supply side, and the numbers showed an economy that continues to grow, but growth is not even across the sectors. The economy grew by 2.3% during 2016, down from a growth rate of 2.6% from 2015. However, the industrial sector's growth was down during the year, declining 0.4% and driven by the continuous collapse in the mining sector. However, the manufacturing sector, albeit weak, was able to post a growth rate of 1.3% during the year. Concern remains for the Mexican economic growth this year due to the current political environment, both north and south of the border, and the potential effects this new environment may continue to have in the currency, the rate of inflation, and in expectations regarding the future. Thus, a mild recession is forecasted for this year. In South America, the Brazilian Central Bank reduced its Selic benchmark interest rate by 75 basis points this week to take the rate to 12.25%. The Selic rate is down 200 basis points since September of last year, as inflation has already returned to the central bank's target of 4.5% in January of 2017. Inflation dynamics will continue to improve during the first half of this year, so the probability of more rate cuts by the Brazilian Central Bank remains in place, at least in the near term. These actions by the Brazilian Central Bank will help the country leave behind 2 years of GDP declines, and although it is not expected that a strong economic rebound will occur this year, the economy will finally add to global GDP after two consecutive years of contraction. And this has been your King's Business Beat with Joshua Frankevich.
March Madness is one of the most watched sporting events during the year. March Madness started in 1939, which features the top 68 basketball teams in the nation that compete to win the national championship. UCLA has the most championships with 11 titles. Kentucky, North Carolina, Duke, and Kansas are considered the favorites to win the tournament this year, but others have said this may be the most unpredictable tournament to pick. Derek McManus and Chris Marconi spoke about the unpredictability of the tournament this year.
I think this is really shaping up to be probably one of the best NCAA tournaments we've had in a long, long time. I'll tell you what, there's about 8 to 10 teams that could really take this home and win it. All this is sizing up to be is some great matchups, great games, and I think we're in for a lot of buzzer beaters this year.
I enjoy watching the early games. It's a good showing of how the mid-majors can match up against the biggest teams in the nation. I like finding out about the rosters, you know, seeing what teams can put together in terms of their offense and defensive styles.
Chris and Marcus Sewell spoke about the level of play during the tournament.
From watching all the games, you can feel the urgency in every game. You can feel the urgency because it's win or go home. And for some students, you know, seniors, and more importantly, it's their last chance to play in a big game. And it's just about coming out and performing as best as you can.
I think it's crazy, though, that some of these kids are a little bit younger than me and they're playing the high-level NBA basketball, which is more, you know, more informative to, especially for the up-and-coming draft. You see a lot of top-tier, like especially Lonzo Ball from UCLA. He's getting a lot of love, especially the center from Purdue, which Purdue will fall under a 6 seed to 5 seed. But it's just interesting to see each and every different player, how they react to the draft.
Although the field of 68 has not been determined, Derek, Chris, and Marcus gave their predictions on who is going to win the NCAA tournament.
UNC's taking it home this year. No doubt about it. It's a done deal already.
Go Tar Heels.
I think probably North Carolina.
Maybe we see another elite team take home the championship, or just maybe we will see a Cinderella take home the championship. Either way you look at it, it is going to be a great tournament, and myself and many other college basketball fans around the world can't wait to watch. For the WRKC News at 5, I'm Sports Director Dan Stokes.
And now the weather. Tonight, there is a possibility of thunderstorms until 10 p.m. Then it will be cloudy. The low temperature is 52 degrees. Tomorrow will be partly sunny with a high of 44. And Friday will be cloudy with a high of 36. The registration deadline for the King's Creative Writing Conference has been extended to the 13th. The registration costs $5 for students. There will also be no News at 5 this Friday. This has been the WRKC News at 5. I'm your program director, Nick Rotundo. Have a wonderful Wednesday and enjoy your break.
This has been the News at 5 on WRKC, Radio King's College, Wilkes-Barre.